So nice to be with you. Thanks for having us. Thanks for the hospitality. Michelle and I have grown accustomed to Atlanta traffic. You guys have nothing here. It's a party driving around your town. You get everywhere quickly. We get nowhere quickly in Atlanta. So, yay, thank you for having us. What a lovely city to host. And it's been a joy. Pastor Philip and Kaylin are particularly dear to us because we travel a little bit through many churches and we get to work with leadership teams all over the world. And we've come to really appreciate them because of their integrity. One of the biggest dangers for church leadership is selfish ambition, which James says, where you have selfish ambition and vain conceit, there you will find disorder in every evil practice. So one of the things you want to watch out for is when you find selfish ambition in leadership, and we're particularly sensitive to that. And one of the things I want to just honor you guys is that there's none here. And I really appreciate it about that. And every time we get with Philip and Kaylin, what comes out of their mouth inevitably is their love for God's people and how much they want to serve you. And we just really appreciate that about you guys. And we met with the elders last night, and what a great group of people. And they have the same spirit and the same authentic genuineness. And so, yay, God, for giving you that kind of leadership. When we see that kind of leadership, we go, man, you know, hold on to your hats because this is going to get fun. God's going to do something profound with you. And thank you for that style of leadership. We really appreciate it. You will notice that my accent is a little different. We're from originally South Africa, which is what I call, this is the deep southern accent, right? It's from the deep south. This is it's what it sounds like. But we've been in Atlanta, as Philip said, we've been in Atlanta 25 years, planted a church. God was gracious to us. It's been a delightful ride, and we travel a little bit now, helping various churches around the world, as I said. I have a message this morning entitled Announcing Jubilee. It's really about breaking people free from all forms of trauma. Pastor Philip had said we had a pastor's meeting recently, a gathering at our church, and one of the things I felt like the Lord said to speak to the pastors about was trauma. And after that, Pastor Philip said, hey, when you come, would you consider talking about that? So that's what I want to go to this morning. It's a very sensitive subject, and I'm aware that I have a little bit of time, and I'm going to speak quickly, but I don't want the speed of my delivery to take away from the fact that trauma is a very, very tough and brutal thing. And it's time for us as the Church of Jesus to get honest about what's going on in the church. That there is trauma, there are mental challenges, mental health challenges, there is suicidal ideation, there is drug addiction, there is sex addiction, there are some things that are contributing to a brokenness of soul that go on, and the church is not exempt from those realities. This world has been broken and marred by sin, and that stuff is what happens. Sin breaks people and wounds people and messes us up. And I want to just take a moment this morning to say, man, have I got good news for you. I have got good news for you, because Jesus came to heal that. And we talk too little about the problem in the church, but we talk too little about the solution. And we've begun to see God just do some unbelievable healing of people and breaking them free from trauma and from stuff that goes on in people's lives. And so I want to just come talk to you about that. Mankind has without Jesus, is caught in the trauma and sin and sickness and death and chaos and hatred are normal in this world. And Jesus came with his primary mission to break the power of sin over mankind, to pay the complete penalty, to wash away all sin. Can I just take a moment? Can I just preach the gospel just for 3 minutes, just quickly before you? Before the beginning of time, the Bible says, before the beginning of time, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit cut a covenant. It's called the eternal covenant. It was cut in eternity before time began. And the Father said, Son, I want you to go and create a bride for yourself. And Jesus said, I'd love that, Father. And he said, I want you to create out of every tribe and tongue and nation, I want you to create this beautiful bride. And I want you. And so Jesus said, if I'm going to have a bride, she's going to have to be just like me in my own image. And the Father said, yes. And then, well, if they get the right to choose, some of them are going to choose stupid. And so then this is like, well, why don't we just create robots that automatically have to obey? Well, no, that's who wants a relationship with somebody who's coded? I have to obey all the time. Some of you are thinking, maybe I wouldn't mind that in my husband or my wife, but I'm just saying, you'd get bored of that. The beauty of it is somebody in their full rights of faculty who make a choice to love you. Amen. And God said, I'm going to make them with a free will. And Jesus said, Father, if you give them free will, they're going to probably sin. And the Father said, yep. And Jesus said, you know what I'll do? I'll take full responsibility to create all of them, but I'll also take responsibility to pay for all of their sin. That's what happened before time began. Because the Bible says, Jesus is called the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the earth. While he was still creating the earth, Jesus was already known as the one who was going to pay for all the sins. Paul said, this grace was given to me before time began. Some of you are thinking that your sin is bigger than the sacrifice of Jesus, but your sin happened way, way, way down the line. God created a universe, and he created a solar system, and he created an earth, and on the earth he created a garden, and then he began to speak, and he began to create those who would be the eternal bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Long before you ever had the opportunity to sin, God's plan for salvation was already in place. And God said, Jesus said, Father, if I go and I lay down my life, will I be able to pay for all the sin of all mankind for all time? And the Father said, if you give up your pure blood, I will accept that sacrifice on behalf of the sins of everyone. And Jesus said, I'd gladly do it, Father. And you know what the Father said? He said, Son, if you'll go and lay down your life, this is what I swear to you. I swear to you two things. If you'll go and lay down your life, I swear this to you, I'll raise you up. I will not let you see decay. And he said, the second thing I'm swearing to you is that you will be the eternal high priest. You'll be the only one that I'll listen to about mankind. Good news, isn't it? Some of you think your brokenness and your sin is more powerful than the finished work of Jesus on the cross. And I'm here to tell you this morning, nothing in all of creation is as powerful as the eternal King of glory who laid down his life, this eternal plan from God to raise up anybody who would believe in his son. You were bought with a price. Don't tell me you're more powerful than God. Not even close. Your brokenness and your sin, well, God couldn't forgive me. God could. The power, you have no idea of the beauty of who Jesus is, the magnificence of who he is. He created everything just by speaking. That God laid down his life. That blood speaks on behalf of everybody who believes on it. That blood, it's what Peter calls the precious blood of the Lamb. This precious blood which can wash you clean, completely, completely forgiven, completely restored to favor in God's eyes. That blood, that sacrifice is what we're calling on you to believe in. Not some puny little side religious nonsense. The blood of the eternal God of glory. And it has power to break you free and to keep you free. Hallelujah. Sometimes I preach myself happy. You know, I just go like, yeah. Now, Jesus has come to heal hearts today. Because I'm pretty sure that there's some people sitting in some form of brokenness. Where you're brokenhearted, you've been wounded by somebody. They've done unbelievably, unimaginably horrible things to you. And some of you are sitting here broken and literally wounded and in bondage and have life is messed up and you haven't done well and you're just sitting there going, Greg, you don't understand my life, man. You don't understand the pressures I've been under. And I'm here to tell you, you don't understand my life. You wouldn't believe who I was when Jesus found me. I'm not standing here like, I got it all together. Jesus found me. I was on the road, man. I was flat out on the road towards hell. And he found me, and he changed me, and he's just delivered me. And I've got nothing but praise. And I've got nothing but good news for you. So I'm here to announce good news. Now, when there is this brokenness, sometimes it results in PTSD, this trauma that has just impacted people's life. And I don't think there's many people who don't have some form of trauma. But the worst kind of trauma, it happens a lot with first responders, military. We see a lot of this. people who've been brutalized sexually, brutalized physically, drug addiction, sex addictions. This trauma happens, man, and the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy from people's lives. When that happens, there's PTSD that happens, and it's a common reaction to traumatic events. And many people, you know, can recover. You know, a trauma happens, and they can recover. But a significant amount of people, those symptoms that came into their life through the trauma, tend to persist. And it becomes a persistent reality for them, and they live under their PTSD, and it's a serious and constant threat. So the signs of PTSD can be some of these. And if you're sitting in the room and one of these signs is, then just know this message is for you. No condemnation here, no pointing of fingers. Just a group of people going, have I got good news, especially for the people on this list. If you're having flashbacks and you can't get rid of those memories, or nightmares, or emotional numbness, or depression, or anxiety, or irritability, hypervigilance, chronic nerve pain, insomnia, an inability to focus, addictions, over-medications, suicidal ideation, isolation, or other forms of mental trauma, I want to proclaim to you, you were called by God to live in His shalom, His peace, His happiness, His wholeness, His health. And the peace and favor of God, when you believed in Jesus, is what He assigned to you. If you're living in anything else than that, then we have come to do war with that today. Jesus, you know the story, He gets baptized in water. He comes out of the water, He gets baptized in the Holy Spirit. And heavens open and God blesses him, said, that's my son whom I love, in him I'm well pleased. And Jesus is led into the desert, and there he's tempted by the enemy. And when he comes out of the desert, the Bible says he comes out full of the Spirit. And the very first thing Jesus does is he makes a beeline up the hill towards Nazareth, which is where he grew up. And at that stage, I don't know if you've ever been to Nazareth, but it's a tiny little place in the middle of the mountains. It's the unfashionable back end of Israel. Nobody wants to, it's not the zhuzhi, woo, happening place. It was about 400 people max in Nazareth. And Jesus grew up there. And he goes to his hometown, basically, to the people who know him best. And he comes with a specific message, because he goes into the place where they read he goes into the little tabernacle there, and because he's a visiting rabbi, they go, could you read to us? And he goes, I'd love to. And so he sits what is called the seat of Moses, in the place where people would read the scriptures, and they bring to him the scroll of Isaiah, and he unwinds it, and I keep winding, and he finds this passage. He goes like, everybody's looking at him. And this is what he reads. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives and release from darkness to the prisoners, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And when he gets there, he stops and he rolls up the scroll. And it says the eyes of everybody in the room was on him. And he said, today, that scripture, which was the declaration of Jubilee, it was understood in Jewish culture, that was the declaration of Jubilee. He said, today, that scripture is fulfilled right now, right here. Today, we're going to party on this truth. Basically, is what he said. Now, for those of you who don't know what Jubilee is, it just sounds like a religious word. God built into the structure of Israel that every 50 years, he called it Jubilee. Every 7 years in Israel, you had to take a Sabbath year, a year of rest. So you had seven sevens, which made up 49 years. And then on the 50th year, you had to take another year of rest. And all you had to do is sit back and celebrate and say thank you. Because on the Jubilee year, on the 50th year, when the high priest would go in on the Day of Atonement, he'd make atonement for the people. And when the high priest came out of that making atonement, trumpets would begin to blow. Silver trumpets, ram's horns would begin to blow. Hey, it's Jubilee. And they would hear, you'd hear it from the tabernacle, from the temple in Jerusalem. And all around Jerusalem, trumpets would blow. And then all through the land, and everybody would hear this trumpet would just sound all across Israel. And it was heralding, this is the year of Jubilee. Now, in the year of Jubilee, you had to forgive anybody's debt. If anybody owed you anything, it was completely canceled. If anybody was a slave, they were emancipated and made completely free. Praise God. So if you were going to buy a piece of land, the price of the land was dependent on how many years there are till Jubilee. Because when Jubilee came, all land reverted back to its original family. So if you were having a tough time and you couldn't pay for your land and you go, well, we're going to have to sell off some assets. You sold off the assets, but when Jubilee came around, assets came back. Jubilee year was a party. Jubilee was the announcement of complete freedom from every form of debt and brokenness whatsoever. And Jesus gets up and he reads that scripture that talks about Jubilee and he goes, guys, today it happens. It's real and it's happening right now. The proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ is a declaration that you are supposed to be completely free from all forms of bondage and from every form of debt. Amen. Hallelujah. In the old covenant, God said the old covenant was dependent on your behavior and your obedience. But the Bible says God found fault with that covenant and he said, I'm going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, and it will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt. This is Jeremiah 31, 31 onwards. This new covenant will not be like that old covenant. I'm going to make a new covenant. And in this new covenant, everything that was made eternal salvation dependent on, Jesus accomplished. Because God said, I'm not going to leave that up to people. I'm going to put that on my son. And so Jesus accomplished everything so that this new covenant, you enter this new covenant not by your works, but because you believe in what Jesus did. This new covenant is not about the perfection of your obedience, but about the perfection of Jesus' obedience. This new covenant is not about your righteousness, but about the righteousness of Jesus. And when Jesus lived a perfectly righteous life and he sacrificed his life completely, the Father said, I will accept that sacrifice on behalf of mankind. And so that anybody who believes on you, Jesus, I'm going to take the righteousness that is on you and I'm going to give it to them as a gift. Not a righteousness of my own, Paul said, which comes from the law and that works on my obedience, but the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. The principle of what I'm teaching you here is that the beauty and the power of the kingdom of God is unlocked in your life, not because you reach a status of perfection and obedience to God, but because you dare to believe what God says is true. That's it. Right there. Right there. And there's some people in this room who are going to dare to believe. I'll take it. And if you do, it unlocks in your life. Instantly. It's a thing of beauty. The older son said, you know the prodigal, the older son? His younger brother went out, just messed up his life, just really didn't do well. But he's sitting there in the pig slop and he goes, you know, my dad is such a good guy that even his servants are well fed and happy. He's even kind to the people he doesn't need to be kind to. I'm going to go back and just hang out with my dad and say, look, I don't deserve to be a son, but can I just be one of the servants? Because they have a happy life. And the older brother says to his father, I did everything right, and I did nothing wrong, and you didn't even give me a chicken to have a little feast with my friends. But this guy comes home, and you killed the fatted calf, and now we're partying. That doesn't seem right. Because he thought that the kingdom of God will be released into his life when he does everything just perfectly right and he never does anything wrong. He thought that was the mechanism by which the power of God flows into his life. And the power of God flows into your life because you have a good view of the Father. You go, you're just that good that if I believed, you could pour it into my life. So the good news for sinners today is that you don't have to get your act together before you can just believe. And if you dare to believe, the power of God can set you free from guilt and shame and brokenness, brokenheartedness. This is good news, right? Man, I'm running so late here on my message, it's going to be frightening. Most people, when you come to this, I want to get rid of the trauma in my life. They think it's a big deal. It's not a big deal, but you and I have to cooperate, co-labor with the Holy Spirit because he's already here. I'm telling you, we already saw this morning, there were some people just got touched. It was very cool. And he's going to do it again in this meeting. Some of you get good things in your knots in the string and things in your... God's going to just blow it all out if you will just let it go. Yes. All right? But we have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to run through this very quickly, and then we're going to get to it. Four things that you and I have to do that cooperate. Number one is forgive people who have hurt us. And there's various scriptures on this. I'm not going to get there. Sometimes people do incredibly horrible things to us, and they mess our lives up. And when it's really, really brutal, it's so hard to even consider thinking about forgiving them, because forgiveness feels like I'm saying what they did was okay and what they did was not okay, and it never will be okay. Yeah. Wrong is still wrong. God doesn't wink wrong away. God counted every wrong against his son. That's why the Bible says God was in Christ not counting men's sins against them. Why? Because he already counted their sins against Jesus. That is such good news. All my sin was counted against Jesus so that all his favor can be put on me. That doesn't seem fair, but man, is it good. Yeah. Amen? So people do horrible things to us. And the challenge is to forgive, because you go, I don't want to forgive. I actually would like to stab them a few times, you know? Yeah. That's what it feels like, right? Yeah. Yeah. You guys don't mind if I'm a little honest. Okay, so sometimes emotionally it feels like I get him, Lord. I want to pray some of David's prayers. Break his teeth in his mouth, oh God, and you slap him, and because that's emotionally what it feels like. But this is the problem: unforgiveness binds me to the moment and the person who committed it, and I never get beyond that moment. And I don't know about you, but I put them on a skewer and I roast them in my mind. Okay, he said this, and then he did that, and then I should have said this. You know what I'd love to say? I'm going to go. And I just sit now. I'm roasting them for months on end. I have this on spin cycle in my head. Whenever I have free time, I'm roasting them. Why? Because I haven't forgiven. My father, when he was 11, his father committed adultery and then brought the young lady that he kicked his mother out. And he brought the young lady into the house. He had my father and four siblings. And my father was very bitter about this. He was the eldest, and he felt like it was his responsibility to stand up to his dad. And so he was just a beast in the home. And this new lady said, I'm not putting up with this. And so she convinced his dad to send him off to boarding school, which he hated. And then they eventually allowed him to come home weekends. And he'd come home Friday night, and then he'd have to leave, go back to boarding school Sunday. And he hated it. And that happened when he was between the age of 12 and 18, so 6 years of his life. When he was in his 60s, one Sunday afternoon, I'm hanging out with him, and he's depressed. And I go, Dad, why are you depressed? He goes, it's what happens to me on Sundays. So I go, what do you mean it's what happens to you on Sundays? He goes, yeah. So he told me the story about how he used to go to boarding school, and he said, since then on, it's Sunday, I always get depressed. And yes, my dad was an accomplished man. He was a professional, he was a lawyer, very good, very sharp man. But here's a man who's 40, 50 years after a trauma happened to him, he's still having the repercussions of that trauma because he refused to forgive. And he, in his mind, he had every right to hold that grudge. The truth is, whether you and I like it or not, if I choose not to forgive, what I'm doing is I'm just handcuffing myself to that trauma and to the person who committed it. And I sit there. And that thing's going to have power over me the rest of my life. And I don't want anybody who did that to me to have any moment of my time. No mind space for you. I'm going to let it go. So when we talk about forgiveness, it means to hand over to a higher judge. It means I take that binder of all the little photographs and all the memories and all the little things they said and all the clippings, and I just bind it up and I give it to an advocate who's going to go and fight this case in the Supreme Court of Heaven. You have an advocate who speaks to the Father, Scripture says. So I need it. It's an act of faith when I forgive. I say, Father, I'm taking all of this detail, all of this pain, all of this hurt, and I'm putting it in Jesus' hands. And I'm saying, Jesus, I trust you to be the only one who'll bring perfect justice. Because Jesus said, the Father's entrusted all judgment to me. He already is, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you hand it to him or not, Jesus is still the ultimate judge. Amen. So I just say, Lord, I'm going to choose to forgive this person. And in forgiving, I'm handing it over to you and saying, I trust you to deal with this. But I'm letting go. And that's a choice I make from my heart. I choose to forgive. Now, I call them unruly passengers. Your emotions are not going to like that. But it's not about your emotions. It's about doing the right thing. And I just say, I'm choosing to forgive. I let it go. We just had a friend of 30 years do some betrayal and do some unbelievable things in our church and say stuff about us. And it was a brutal betrayal. But I live free. I live completely free because I made his choice. I forgive. So some of us are just going to have to, some of you sitting here and you go, man, I can't let it go. Well, you're going to have to make a choice. And it's not the devil who's got you, it's you. Choose. Some of you, the most brutal person to forgive is yourself. Can I just say? You've done nothing. You've done nothing that the power of the sacrifice of Jesus cannot forgive you for. Forgive yourself too. Now, if you don't, Jesus said, the one who wouldn't forgive was put in jail and given to tormentors. And so torment sits with people who won't forgive. I wish that wasn't in the scriptures, but that's the way it is. So just forgive. Number two, repent. And I'm going to go quicker with these. You and I both know that we need to repent. I need to come into agreement with the Holy Spirit, and because the Holy Spirit will come near me and just go, son, I didn't like that. I go, oh, Lord, please forgive me. He gives me a gift of godly sorrow when he whispers to me. The Holy Spirit never condemns. That's one of what he does. The devil will condemn you. This general sense of, God hates you, and the light, that's from the devil. The Holy Spirit says, come here, son. I didn't like that. I go, oh, Lord, because when he says it, godly sorrow hits me. And I go, Lord, I don't want to ever do that again. Forgive me. I don't want to be that guy, Lord. And he goes, okay. Not an instant have we lost fellowship. Not an instant did he move me away from God. I'm still held in the love of God. That's what the Bible says in Hebrews. It says God rebukes us like the child, like the son the father delights in. Yeah. What do you do with a son you delight in? And they're doing something silly. Come here, buddy. Hold, I love you, man. Just don't do that again. That badly represents our family. That's not who we are. Amen. Come on now. Amen. Number three, you have to replace the lies with truth. You have to say to yourself, that thing is a lie. Because some people are bound up in, the enemy's managed to plant some lies in your mind. And when you believe the lie, you end up in despair. When you believe the truth, you end up in life and peace. Right. It's an amazing thing. So if you're living with all this fruit in your life that is nonsense and it's brutal and it's hard and shame and guilt and condemnation and hardship, and you go, what is going on? I would just like to submit to you that you go, Holy Spirit, can you show me the lies I'm believing? There are no hopeless people. I mean, there's no hopeless situations. There's just hopeless people in situations. Right. Hopelessness is a lie. Right. If you believe in the God who can do anything, then hopelessness is a lie. Right. Amen. Amen? So figure out, ask the Holy Spirit, could you show me lies I'm believing? And when you find them, rebuke them and replace them with truth from the scriptures. Yes. Number four, invite Jesus and say, Lord, would you come? Would you speak to me about the darkness of my heart? Would you speak to me about the trauma? Because sometimes the Lord wants to come and just whisper stuff to you. I have seen people come free, not because we counsel them, but because we just pull them aside and said, you go to that moment in your mind, yeah, just ask Jesus what he's saying. I've seen people get instantly delivered from nonsense that's held them for years because they heard God speak to them. Right. It's a thing of beauty, man. Yeah. Isaiah 55 in the Living Bible says, come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, listen to me, for the life of your soul is at stake. It's very cool. Now, it's time for us to call on the Lord of the breakthrough. And we're going to call on the Lord because the scriptures, the principle is in Acts 2 and Romans 10 says, anybody who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There's this principle that if you catch something of who God is and you call out to him for that thing, you get saved. That flows in your life. So I'm just going to read to you just some of the things, some of the ways God has revealed himself in his word. This is who I am. We're just going to put those names up in a list. And some of you are going to say, I need the God who heals the brokenhearted, or I need the God who binds up the wounding. And I need the God who is the God of all comfort. Some of you just need to just take a look at this list and say, that's the God I'm calling on. I'm calling on that God to come and help me. So let me just read you some of these quickly. Psalm 34, he's the savior of the broken and the crushed. Is anyone feeling broken or crushed? The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. How about Psalm 147, the healer of the broken and the wounded? He heals the brokenhearted, and he binds up their wounds. Anybody brokenhearted today or feeling wounded? How about Zephaniah 3? The Lord your God is among you, is in your midst. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. Some of you sitting here and think you cannot imagine God rejoicing over you. But that's what he says. He will quiet you with his love. Some of you just racing thoughts. Say, God, I'm calling on the God who'll quieten me with his love. He'll rejoice over you with singing. Isaiah 66. God will act like a comforting mother. Some of you need that. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. Psalm 103, he's the father of compassion. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord will have compassion on those who fear him. He's the comforter with kindness and love, according to Hosea 11. I will lead them with cords of human kindness and with ties of love. To them I was like one who lifts a child to the cheek and bent down to feed them. How about 2 Corinthians 1? He's the father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Some of you just going, I just wish God would be compassionate to me. He's the father of compassion. I need comfort. He's the God of all comfort. Deuteronomy 32, he's an everlasting refuge and a support. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are his everlasting arms, and he'll drive out your enemies before you. The list will come up on the screen. Some of you sitting here, and you have trauma in your life, and you need a call out. So I just want to invite you right now, in the secrecy of your own heart, say, God, I need you. I need that God to show up for me. Now, in just a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer. It's a fairly long prayer, because I want to break stuff off you. I didn't talk about the military, but I was in the military. I was in the artillery. And in between, I did officer's course, and then I stayed back the second year as an instructor to instruct. And in between instructing people, they just gave us courses. So they said, you know, do you know how to shoot multiple rockets? And I go, no. They said, here's a course, go on that. So I shot handguns, I shot rifles, I shot sniper rifles, I shot machine guns, I shot Brownings. I threw hand grenades, I launched hand grenades, rocket launchers, I launched things, I had multiple rocket launchers. I've shot guns, cannons of every size, mortars, I've done it, I've blown things up, I've shot things, and there is a certain beauty. My favorite was a handheld rocket launcher. It was my favorite weapon. Because when you load that thing up, it feels like something better be careful. I've got power in my hands. The Bible says when we fight, the weapons that we fight with are not measly little man-made weapons. The weapons we fight with have divine power to demolish strongholds, not to just maybe make a little dent, or to demolish strongholds and to tear down everything the enemy has spent years trying to build in people's lives. We have power, not just me, you. We have power as believers. The weapons we fight with have divine power to demolish strongholds and to pull down every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. So in just a little while, we're going to come together and agree and use some of that power to demolish some stuff. Amen. Right? Amen. But you need to agree with me. Because I can pray now, and when I'm gone in 6 months' time, the enemy's going to come back and go, oh, that's not, you're still bound. And when he comes, you need to say, be quiet, you lying thief, and be gone in Jesus' name. Right? So it doesn't help me if I just pray a prayer. It helps me if I teach you how to say, be gone, you lying thief, in Jesus' name. Now, we spoke about four things. I'm going to do those four things quickly because we don't have a lot of time. We spoke about forgiving people. We spoke about repentance. We spoke about asking the Lord if there's a lie and saying, Jesus, would you come and speak to me? I would dare you to do this at home because we're not going to have enough time to do this justice. But I want to do it now. So I'm going to ask you if you would stand with me, please. And let's just do that quickly together. If there is somebody that you know you must forgive, you know that they wronged you and you know that the Lord's calling you. While I've been preaching, the Lord said, hey, you've got to deal with that. You've got to forgive them. I want you to just hold that person in your mind and I want you to make a choice in your heart. Lord, I'm choosing to forgive them. And in just a little while, I'm going to say, Lord, I forgive them. And then I'm going to ask you to say that. Then I'm going to say, Lord, would you heal them? And I'm going to ask you to say that prayer. And then I'm going to say, Lord, I release them. And I'm going to ask you to release them. All right? I'm not doing this to look good. I'm doing this so that you can be free. And I'm telling you, I'm telling you the truth. People today are coming free. Right now in this place. So you know that person, all right? You ready to forgive? Say this with me. Lord, I forgive them. Say it. Lord, I forgive them. Now say, would you heal them? Lord, would you heal them? Now here's the big part. Say, Lord, I release them. You ready? Lord, I release them. Father, we release these people who have hurt us. We forgive them from the heart. Others, our perception of you, even ourselves, Lord, we forgive. Cleanse us, Lord, and heal them in Jesus' name. Lord, for the things we need to repent of, we're just asking you, forgive, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Wash me clean, and Holy Spirit, lead me in the way everlasting. Give me power, Lord, to walk well before you. Right now, Lord, I'm asking if there are lies that people are believing, that you would just whisper that to them. Just listen, just for a moment. What lie? What lies am I believing? Just let the Holy Spirit whisper that to you. Now, Lord, I'm asking you in this brief moment just to come and whisper to us a truth to replace that lie. Now I'm going to pray a prayer and just invite you to agree with it for your life. See, the enemy has no power to undo the cross of Jesus Christ on your life. If you've believed, the enemy has no power. He can do nothing. Jesus had been given all authority. He gave it to man. Man lost it and gave it to the devil. Jesus came back, took it back from the devil, gave it back to man. You have all authority. And if you have all authority, how much authority is left for the devil? None. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now you go in my name and proclaim this gospel. You've been given the authority. The only authority the enemy can have is when you agree with him, because you got the authority. So he's going to whisper lies to you. And if you believe the lies and vocalize them, well, then that has authority because you legitimized it. I don't want to legitimize anything the enemy's saying. A lying thief. I'm going to proclaim the gospel of God. I'm going to shout the praises of my God. I am going to take the authority God put on my life and say, this is where it happens in my life. So you have to agree with us, right? So let's pray. Right now, by the power of the blood of Jesus, we welcome you, Lord Holy Spirit, to come into this place and to move among us as the comforter, the helper, the healer, the deliverer. And I proclaim, Lord, the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ over every believer in Jesus' name. I don't care what they've done, Lord, or what the past has been. I declare them free and not defined by their history. I rebuke, Lord, that thought, but I release, Lord, the definition of who God called them to be, which is a beloved child. And by the power of the blood of Jesus, I break the power of shame off people. And I break, Lord, any trauma or traumatic events that cause shame in their life. What was done to them or what they've experienced, Lord, does not speak to who they are. I say, you no longer carry shame, and I break shame and the power of guilt and shame off your life. I break it off in Jesus' name. But in Isaiah 61, as Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord God is here to bring good news to broken hearts. He's here to heal us, Lord, and to declare liberty and freedom. So right now, I declare, Lord, freedom coming. Bring comfort for mourning, joy for sorrow, mantle of praise for the spirit of heaviness through a divine exchange right now, Lord, I pray. I sever every single assignment that the evil one has set up against the people of God. And in the name of Jesus, I command the spirits of trauma and torment and fear to leave now in Jesus' name. I command you to go. I sever your assignment against this person by the power of the blood of Jesus. Spirit of suicide, I break your power. And I command you to stop speaking right now. I command murder and rage, and I sever your assignment. I command you to go in Jesus' name. And in the name of Jesus, you no longer have a place in the life of anyone who's hearing my voice right now. I sever right now any agreement with the spirit of death. Because the believers carry the same spirit that raised Jesus' body from the dead. And I command the spirit of death to leave and have no right now. I cancel and break off depression. I break off oppression in any way. I break off insanity. I break off mental illness. I break off bipolar disease, multiple personality disorders in Jesus' name. I sever your assignment against the life of any believer hearing this in Jesus' name. I proclaim, Lord, freedom from substance abuse, from drug addiction, from opioid, Lord, nonsense. I break, Lord, sexual bondage in any form. I break it off your people. I'm going to invite you to put your hand on your head as I pray for you. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name healing for the broken heart. Let the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, come and just in the name of Jesus, every traumatic image and memory, I command these images to dry up and die. I sever every lie and every stronghold connected to traumatic images and memories. I pray for fresh faith, Lord, and the truth of the Word of God to replace those lies and enemies and memories. I command the memory center to awake with a free flow of good memories. I break everybody's minds free from being hijacked from the traumatic images and memories in Jesus' name. I invite you, put your hand on your heart. As Lord, I speak healing to the broken hearts in the room in Jesus' name. Let the power, oh Holy Spirit, come and pick up the pieces and put them back together so that we can walk in freedom, Lord. The beauty of being God's child. Come, Holy Spirit. Bring health, Lord, to the wounding and the bruising of people's hearts. Help them, Lord, with power to become everything that they were created to be. I declare right now that healing comes to our hearts, and the peace of God, the shalom of God, the wholeness and the wellness and the favor of God to affect our minds and our wills and our emotions and also our bodies in Jesus' name. I speak healing to any concussions, traumatic brain injuries, anything that has caused the brain to not operate in the way it was originally intended by God. I pray healing over the auditory and visual processing in Jesus' name. I speak healing to every system of your body and their functions in the mighty name of Jesus. I rebuke all chronic nerve pain. It must leave now in Jesus' name. I declare every aspect of every physical system in your body that has been compromised by trauma to be healed in Jesus' name. I command the resetting of sleep in the brain, so that people experience 6 to 8 hours of uninterrupted sleep every night, rich and deep, Lord. I command all nightmares to go. Night tremors must also go. Night sweats must also go in Jesus' name. And by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, I declare you are no longer defined by your history. You are defined by the one that God called you to be. And I declare that you, the new creation in Christ, is free indeed. The old has gone and passed away, and everything has become new in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. Thank you so much. Been a delight to be with you. We're just going to... In just a moment, we're going to celebrate this. We're going to come and we're going to sing. We're just going to worship our King. We're going to take our eyes, put them back on Jesus, and we're going to invite His presence and His healing to continue. That's what we're going to do right now. We're just going to worship a little moment for you to cement and say, amen. The so be it. Amen means so be it, Lord. And you get to say, amen. So be this in my life, in Jesus' name.